You're listening to the Miles to Go podcast, the go-to source for travel tips, news, and reviews you can't afford to miss. Now, here's your host, travel expert Ed Pizza.
Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of the Miles to Go podcast. I'm your host, Ed Pizza. Thanks for tuning in. If you're enjoying the podcast, I hope you'll take a couple moments to subscribe and like it, whether you're listening on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or any other place where we've got the podcast parked for you. We're going to try something new this week, and this could be either really super awesome or it could be an epic fail. We're going to figure this out along the way. But our family is on vacation at Disney World, so we decided that we were going to do an episode live. So I got the family all gathered around the table here, and we decided that now that we've been on a couple of new rides that we were going to do a quick family review of two of the most popular rides at Disney World right now. And that's both located in Animal Kingdom in the world of Avatar. You've got Avatar Flight of Passage and the Navi River Journey. And just to make sure you know who all the players are, in the background you'll hear from my lovely wife Michelle, who is also going to be referred to as Mommy, I'm sure, by the kids. You got my daughter, Catherine, who likes to be called Cat. And you've got Charlie, who's going to wrap up our review today with the shopping review on the Banshee. So I guess first question for the ladies is, you did the Avatar Flight of Passage and Navi River Journey rides live up to the hype that you guys heard ahead of time?
Yeah. Charlie said that the Navi River ride was a lot like it's a small world, and it kind of was, because there wasn't like a lot of action. It was a lot of looking around, and I'm sure if you watched the movie it would be cooler, but essentially you're going through this like jungle place, and it was really cool. And then the Flight of Passage ride was awesome, and it was everything I dreamed in more.
Yeah.
It was epic.
So just for those who haven't ridden these rides yet, you know, the Avatar ride, if you have been to Disney World, it's a bit like Soarin', which is the hang gliding ride in Epcot. And so what you do is there's a lead up, and they do very well on the cinematics. The rooms that you walk through, the decorations are unbelievable. I mean, it's Disney. They know how to do theming. But after they genetically match you to the right Banshee, you head into a room, and you know, it's the most interesting ride surface I can ever really imagine, because you sit on something that kind of looks like a motorcycle. But as you sit down, this harness comes up and sort of wraps around your back. So you're almost like stuck inside this thing, because they obviously don't want you to fall out. And that wasn't something that we expected. Kat, what did you think of how that felt as you were riding?
It was comfortable, but it definitely felt very secure. Like, it felt like I wasn't going to fall off of my Banshee.
Yeah, I don't think you could fall off of them. Mommy, what did you think in terms of the ride? Did it make you motion sick? Did you get any queasy? Or
It wasn't jerky at all. It was rather smooth. In fact, if you can handle Soarin', you could definitely handle the Avatar ride.
Smoother than...
There are some stomach drops, because the Banshee does do a straight down drop through the forest. So, but you just, you know, it's a matter of using your imagination and understanding that just because it's dropping, you're not really dropping. So you can make those different.
Yeah, you're tipping forward, you know, and so you're tipping forward just a bit, but they do a great job with the movie screens in front of you. You're also wearing some glasses. But the movie screen, the quality of the movie screens is so high quality that it really does give you the sense of being there. So they're not really tipping you that far forward, but you definitely do get the strong sense that you're falling. Yeah, air blowing and everything, yeah.
The Banshee breathing between your legs.
Yeah, you can feel... Like, your seat moves in and out like an animal breathing. Like, if you were to ride, like, a horse or some other animal, you can feel it moving in and out, and in and out. And it's really – it makes it feel more realistic.
Yeah, that was a very realistic part of the ride for me too. I guess, you know, knowing that right now the wait for Avatar Flight of Passage can stretch up to 3 hours. Yes, literally people are waiting in line 3 hours if you don't have a fast pass. I guess let's start with Charlie since we haven't heard from him yet. If you had to wait in line to ride Avatar Flight of Passage, would you wait 3 hours for it?
Yeah.
You would? Wow, that's crazy. Maybe not do it on a hot summer day like we're doing right now.
But I would probably wait.
Mommy, would you wait 3 hours?
Probably not. I'm not one to stand around for very long.
Yeah.
But it's definitely a ride if you can get a fast pass, take advantage of it.
Yeah.
Kat, what do you think? Would you wait 3 hours?
I'm not completely sure because it's such a good ride, but I'm very impatient. So probably especially on a day that's hot, it's today because it's like. Oh,
I think the Navi River, though, you would definitely want to wait for a fast pass.
Yeah, the Navi River Journey line does not get as long as Avatar, but it does get over an hour easily. And you know, I mean, it's like as we said, it's an okay ride. The graphics on it are great. You'll see a couple of videos that I'm going to link to in the show notes from our trip, and a blog post that we're writing up about what we thought of the ride, so you can get a little bit of a sense of what's there. But yeah, I definitely think for me, I don't think I'd wait in line 3 hours for a couple of reasons. One, as everybody else said, it's a long time to wait. Even though Charlie said he would wait the 3 hours, well, yeah, if you have fast pass, then you don't have to wait 3 hours. But the thing about the wait is, you know, if you think about it, if you're buying a regular park ticket, you're spending, you know, over $100 a day to be at Disney World. And even if you're buying a multi-day ticket, you're probably spending close to $100 a day. So you're talking about 30 to 40% of your day waiting in line for one ride. And that's tough. It's a great ride, but I'm not sure that I'd invest that much time in it. What we did find, though, and it's kind of funny the way things work out with kids. You know, my wife and I have never watched the Avatar movie, so we didn't have a lot of perspective on what to expect. But the interesting thing was we got off the ride and we went into the store, as Disney does so well with their park logistics. They dump you out into a great big retail store on almost all the popular rides. And as soon as we got in the store, Charlie started running around because he was looking for the Banshees. And we had no idea this existed, but there's a toy, and it's a very, very special one. And this was the only thing Charlie wanted on our trip. And he did end up with a Banshee. And I think he did such a great job describing it to us before we even knew what it was. Charlie, why don't you explain to people what the Banshee toy is?
When you get out of the ride and you will go to this very corner and then they'll take you in and then they'll tell you all about the Banshee.
And they matched you up with the one that you wanted, right?
Yeah.
So what is it?
It's a special roped off corner.
Yeah, it is. You can't get near it because of the price. So what did you? So tell them what the Banshee does.
There is this. So it can sit on your shoulder with this magnet.
Mm-hmm.
And you put the magnet under your shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And then you put the Banshee on top, and it stays there. There's this rope that goes all the way around, and there's this trigger. And when you trigger it, one of them does his mouth opens and he roars.
Mm-hmm.
Another one turns his head to the side.
Yeah.
And one of them makes his wings flap up and down.
Yeah, he does some pretty cool things.
And, when you turn him off, he goes to bed.
Yeah,
and he snores.
He snores, right? He's a snoring Banshee. And just for clarification purposes, I'm not sure I'll get the number exactly right, but the Banshees are somewhere in like the $60 to $70 range. So they're one of the more expensive toys you're going to find at
$50.
A little more than that. And while Disney does have some expensive stuff, this was definitely at the high end for us and what we would consider to be an affordable toy for our kids. Surprisingly, even though Disney does a really great job of avoiding giving customers discounts at places where you really want them, if you're an annual pass holder or a Disney Vacation Club member like we are, they actually did give us a small discount being an annual pass holder, if I remember correctly. At any rate, you're still talking about $60 for a toy, but it really was the thing that Charlie was most looking forward to, and I think it definitely made his trip, him being the shopper of the group as he were. He got that gene from his mom.
Hey.
At any rate, it's time for us to head off to the parks. I hope you liked this podcast segment. I know the family had some fun. For now, we'll step aside and go to the parks. I'm going to step aside for a quick break. Up next, we've got and it's a big deal segment with my good friend Jen from Deals We Like, and we're going to wrap up with a family travel segment from my buddy Summer from Mommy Points. We'll be right back on the Miles to Go podcast. This week's It's a Big Deal segment is about Southwest Airlines and a deal they have right now where you can get their A-list status for a minimum of 90 days and as long as a year if you happen to have elite status with another airline. And my buddy Jen Steckoff, who's a Deals We Like author, who's been on with us a bunch, is also a big Southwest fan, as you guys know. So decided to get Jen to hop on and walk us through this a little bit. Hey, Jen, how are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. Ed, how are you?
I'm doing good, and it sounds like I'm a bit ahead of you because I did my status match already, but it sounds like you might be trying to work on some timing for it. Let's start by telling folks what the offer is from Southwest and what they get with A-list status.
Sure. So Southwest just put out a promotion that if you have status with another airline, as you mentioned, you can go ahead and get an immediate match to their A-list status. So you'll get that for 90 days. No requirements of flying for those 90 days, but if you are able to fly during those 90 days, you'll be able to extend your status an additional 12 months. So all it will require is an additional 6 one-way flights. So Southwest kind of books as one-way flights, so 3 round trips, 6 one-ways, a combo of anything, will then get you that A-list status for an additional 12 months, which is pretty nice. I mean, A-list status isn't, you know, going to get you a flatbed seat because that's just not Southwest planes. But there are some, you know, nice perks. One of my favorite perks is priority boarding and free standby. And those are some things that come with other airline status and not something that's readily available for Southwest. And I know since you can't book a specific seat on Southwest, people like that priority boarding. So that is pretty nice. And then you'll be able to stand by at any point during the day in Southwest. Is one of the harder airlines to do standby with, so that's nice.
Yeah, and I I just went through the status match process. It went super smooth, and I had my first flight just sort of coincidentally. I had booked it before the status match came out, so I don't think it'll qualify. But it was a full flight, and it was probably a week after I did the status match, and I got an A19 boarding pass. So for folks who aren't familiar with Southwest, that's pretty darn good. I was, you know, because the first 15 passes weren't full on my flight, so I was probably like the 9th or 10th person to board the plane, which, first off, early bird would have cost me $15 if I'd bought it for that flight. And
no guarantee you would have even gotten that high of a seat
exactly.
Either.
Yeah, so definitely that did have some benefit for me. I guess I haven't fiddled around with the free standby, but walk people through what Southwest policy is if you want to change flights.
Sure. So Southwest policy, you know, they have a very liberal policy, no change fees, no cancellation fees. But if you do want to change or cancel, you're just paying the difference in the fare type. So if you book a flight for $39 months ago and that same day, clearly prices are going to skyrocket on the same day if you're looking to book. If you're looking to go standby and it's now a $339 flight, they're just going to charge you the additional $300. So whatever the difference is in the fare versus what you booked versus what it is at that time is what you're going to pay. Other airlines have like a flat, you know, $75, same day confirmed standby policy. Southwest is just whatever the fare difference is. Now, if the fare went down in price, you pay that difference. And that's at any point throughout, you know, the time you book to the time you fly, you can go ahead and change. So they don't really have that generous of a policy for standby, but they have a generous change and cancellation policy. So pros and cons.
Yeah, and you could definitely save some money with the standby policy. Now, the key to the status match here is that you do have to have elite status with some airline. But I think the breadth, the reason why this one is so appealing, the status match is so appealing, is that Southwest is essentially saying if you have elite status with any other U.S. airline, so you've got not only American, Delta, United, but I would imagine that people can match their JetBlue Mint status. So there's a bunch of different ways to get this, and you know, you don't have to have top tier status. Either you could have a lower status like, you know, gold with American Airlines.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. But one thing I want to point out is, so after you register, only flights that you book after registering will count towards getting the additional 12 months of status. So if you, which kind of is how Southwest does all their promotions. So only flights booked after registering. If you booked flights a few months ago, they will not count. You'll have to cancel them and rebook after registering, and which could work in your advantage if the flight price hasn't gone up. But if it has gone up significantly, you're going to have to weigh it out whether or not it's worth it to, you know, get that status. But only flights booked after registering.
Yeah, I'll have to see if this works out for me, because I only have two flights booked in the next 90 days, two legs, if you will. So these two that I had at the beginning, you know, don't count because I didn't rebook them, and I couldn't because it was a significant price change. So I guess I'll just have to see if I can make it to six or not. Do you think that you're going to make it to get the year's worth of status?
No. So I have my next upcoming Southwest flight as of right now is in October. So that's why I was kind of holding off on getting this status, and just to make sure, you know, try to do it in a timely fashion that maybe would allow me to get those flights in. I'm not sure. Usually I use my points, and I love using points with Southwest versus paying for it. So we'll see. I love to have the status, but, you know, I'm not going to go out of my way for it, but if it works, great.
Yeah, awesome. All right, well, Jen, thanks so much for hopping on with us. Tell folks where they can find you when you're not on the podcast with me.
Sounds great. You can find me at dealswelike.com. Also find me on Twitter and Facebook at dealswelike. And feel free to always reach out via email or any other means of social media, or comment on the blog.
Thanks, Jen. We'll talk to you soon. If you're listening to this podcast, you know the places miles and points can take you. Maybe you've been saving up those miles and points to plan that special once-in-a-lifetime trip, but you can't find what you're looking for. The experts at BookYourReward.com have redeemed over 3 billion miles. That's billion, with a B. You won't find anyone with more experience to book your dream vacation. BookYourReward.com will provide you with concierge booking services to get you where you want to go, how you want to get there, and using the rewards program of your choice. All for a lot less than the cost of a domestic coach airline ticket. For listeners of the Miles to Go podcast, with a special limited time off, receive a $25 Amazon gift card with your first paid booking at BookYourReward.com. Drop us a line at milestogopodcast@gmail.com with your itinerary for more details. Okay, we've got another family travel segment today. As always, it's with my buddy Summer from Mommy Points. And, you know, this one was spurred by the fact that she had had a great trip to a new Hyatt property down in the Bahamas called Grand Hyatt Bahamar. And she commented on how the kids club was free. Yay! Something we don't see very often. And then all of a sudden it wasn't, and it was really expensive. And, you know, as a follow-up to that, a couple of days later, after learning that information, I saw a post on her blog about hotels where you can get free kids clubs, which I think is a big deal because kids clubs aren't cheap anymore. So Summer agreed to hop on and go over those with us for just a few minutes. How you doing, Summer?
I am good. And it was a sad moment when Bahamar, around Easter, they decided they had had it with apparently taking care of your kids for free. At one of their busiest times, I'm sure, and it went from being a complimentary kids club to $55 for 3 hours for one kid. So we're going to go over some free kids clubs that are still free as of today, but it goes without saying that if you're planning a trip because of that, double check that it's still true when it comes time for you to go, because we have seen a perfect example of hotels changing their minds on this.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't know about you. Well, I think I do know. I think you've got the same opinion I do. You know, I'm not poor, and yet $55 for 3 hours of time at a resort is, ouch.
Yeah, and that's just one kid. I mean, it's not like you've now hired a babysitter at $55 for 3 hours and they can take care of your two or three kids. That's
right.
Just one kid.
Yeah. All right, so let's roll through these kids, these free kids club properties that you reported on.
Yeah, so there's a few. And most of them are, all of them actually that I'm going to talk about are hotels you can book with your points. So these aren't just hotels you've got to spend hundreds and hundreds of real dollars, but these are hotels you can book with your points and then use the kids club for free. So one that my older daughter has been to and loved was at the Andaz Maui. And that hotel is a little tough to find award availability at, but if you can find it, they have a kids club that is for kids, I believe, ages 5 to 12, and it's complimentary during the day. If you want to go at night, there's a charge for that, but from about 9 to 3, I believe, you could go for free, and they do some cool Hawaiian cultural sort of activities instead of just letting your kids free range play. So my kid was, I think, 6 when she went, and she was legitimately in tears when it was time to leave, which is always a good sign. Another cool one that she loved was the Hyatt Ziva in Cancun. That's one of those all-inclusive Hyatt resorts. Yeah. There's a few. And all of them have included kids clubs, so it's not unique to the one in Cancun. That just happens to be the one we've used. And to be in their kids club, you've got to be at least 4. So if your kid's under 4, which my kid was, my younger daughter, she was 9 months old, we were able to hire one of their babysitters who took care of her in the club, which was really cool. So my kids were still together. We just had one that was free and then one that we had to hire the babysitter for. But it worked out amazing. Yeah, it was completely great. And that kids club has like a little water slide and a little kid play area outside in the water. It was one of my favorites. Another one of my favorites was at the St. Regis Punta Mita. It's in Mexico. That resort is amazing. And it's one of the ones that's going to get temporarily cheaper on points on August 1st when Marriott and SPG combine their award charts.
I've definitely had my eye on that for August.
If you have your radar, that's the time to book this one. You do have to be 5 for their included kids clubs. But again, they have amazing, amazing babysitters that you can hire. I wanted to just adopt the babysitter who was watching my then 3-month-old and take her home with us. She was that amazing. And I would honestly go back to the resort in part just because of how good the kids' care was, both the included kids club for the 5-year-old, the 12-year-olds, but then also basically the nanny that we were able to hire through the hotel. She was amazing. Yeah. That part wasn't free, but it was worth it. if you're looking for a really great value, the Andaz Costa Rica is just 15,000 Hyatt points a night, and they have a free kids club during the day for ages 4 to 12. And when we went last year, they told us that if they're not busy, they'll even take 3-year-olds. You probably have to be a potty trained 3-year-old, but it sounds like the minimum age was wiggly if they weren't very busy, which they were not when we went last time. We're about to go back there again, and our youngest daughter's not quite 3 and not quite potty trained, so we're not going to be able to squeeze her into the kids club. But again, they have babysitters from their kids club staff you can hire. And so that's what we're going to do so that she can play in the kids club with her own dedicated staff member while my older daughter plays for free.
And if you guys are listening along, I will link to Summer's post on her trip to the Andaz Costa Rica when it was just an adults-only trip. You know, I think the great thing about a free kids club at a property like this is this property looks fantastic, not just in terms of hanging out, but a bunch of cool adult activities. And so I think this would be a great place where you've actually got a bunch of different things you can do with your significant other while your kids are in a free kids club.
Yeah, we don't return to destinations usually back-to-back years, but we are this one. Last year it was just adults, and it was so amazing that we're going back again this year with kids, and I think we'll have at least as good a time with kids as we did without, in part because of the kids club. We'll get to do some family stuff, some adult stuff. So two more quick examples, and again, these are all on the blog, so if you're not taking notes, no big deal. But the Park Hyatt St. Kitts just recently did the opposite of the Grand Hyatt Baja Mar. St. Kitts was charging for their kids club, and then they changed their mind a couple months ago, and now it's included for guests. And they take kids as young as 3, which is super rare with a free kids club. So the hotel itself is pricey on points at 30,000 points a night, but their occupancy is not what they hoped. And so they are running some insane deals right now where you get hundreds of dollars of resort credit, fourth night free, like really good deals on cash. And then your kids can go play in the kids club for free. And it was one of the best kids clubs I've ever seen. It has some really, really cool amenities that I've outlined on the blog. And then my last example was not free, but darn close to it. And I think this is super common in Asia. So the Ritz-Carlton Bali is currently 40,000 Marriott points per night, but that's going to 50,000 August 1st. So this is one you want to book before August 1st if you can. But you can travel up to a year in advance, so you don't have to go this summer. But they have a kids club. It's not free, but it once you do the currency conversion, it's only $3.50 an hour.
That's awesome.
And it looks amazing. It has another cool water feature with a water slide, and they seem to do a lot of cultural activities, and it's $3.50 an hour. So, and I didn't see a minimum age written on the website. We haven't been there yet, but at that rate, like, I'm ready to move into the Ritz-Carlton Bali for a few weeks when school's out this summer, and let them take care of my kids for $3.50 in what looks like an absolutely amazing kids club. And from what I understand, we haven't traveled that much in Asia, and we've never brought our kids to Asia yet. But I think that it's a pretty common occurrence at resorts there that the kids clubs are either included or they're very, very reasonably priced. So we're moving to Asia any minute now.
And I think, you know, for folks who may not have dipped their toe in the water of kids clubs, I'll say I can remember the first time that we thought about it. And, you know, there was a tinge of guilt, like, oh, you know, gosh, we're away on vacation, but we're, you know, giving our kids away to strangers to watch them for a few hours while we relax and do, you know, whatever, hang out on the beach, you know, go swimming. You know, we didn't do a bunch of it when the kids were much younger. And then what we came to find was they would see the activities that the other kids were doing in the kids club, and they'd want to play with someone other than just their sibling. And at certain times, they actually preferred to have a day where it wasn't necessarily just mom and dad. And they really got into it. So nowadays, when we do show up at a resort and it's $50 per kid per session for a kids club, I do swallow a little bit hard and, like, gulp as far as, you know, adding those costs onto the trip, which is why I love these free opportunities.
Totally. And I had the same feelings when my first daughter, you know, started out in the kids clubs. But she loves them. She asks to go to them. And it's a win for everybody to have her have some time dedicated to her and a space dedicated to her. And we have had nothing but great experiences so far doing paid or free kids clubs.
Yeah, I agree. Same thing here. Awesome. Well, before we bug out, why don't you let people know where they can find you?
Totally. So I blog almost every single day at mommypoints.com, M-O-M-M-Y points. Or you can find me on Twitter at @mommy_points.
And if she's not blogging, it's probably because she's in Bali.
Absolutely. Or in transit. Like, we'll fill you in on Bali once we get there.
All right, Summer. Take care. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Ed.
This episode of Miles to Go is sponsored by GoGo InFlight Internet. GoGo brings the internet to the sky, so planes fly smarter, airlines perform better, and passengers travel happier. Their new blazing fast 2KU antenna delivers industry-leading speeds, up to 15 megabits per passenger device, and is currently available on over 400 planes flying in over 65 countries worldwide. Get GoGo, travel happier.
And we're back to wrap up this week's episode of the Miles to Go podcast. I hope you enjoyed the segment with my family going over our thoughts about the brand new Avatar rides at Disney World. Leave us some feedback. Let us know if you like that or not. We sure had fun recording it, but we want to make sure that we're bringing you stuff that you find enjoyable and fun as well. This week's final two pennies is about your bucket list, and I sure hope you have one, because I have one too. And even though there's some big glaring holes on that bucket list that I haven't hit yet, South America is a continent that I haven't gotten the chance to visit yet, and surprising to some, I still have not made it to Hawaii. You know, I think it's important to make sure that you always have a bucket list and that you massage it. I do window shopping for my bucket list. I window shop on Twitter by looking at the pictures and stories of friends of mine who are traveling around the world. Do the same thing with Instagram, folks' blogs, you know, even the occasional podcast. I'm constantly updating those places that I want to go, and I'm also looking to see what's on sale, and you know, maybe there's a great opportunity to get somewhere cheaply. I almost grabbed some of those really cheap Hawaii flights we've been seeing for the last few weeks, as cheap as $250 round trip to book a family trip out there and cross Hawaii off of our list. But the timing just wasn't quite right, and I think that's a good takeaway in that you always want to make sure you've got a good list of places that you want to go if you're a travel nut like I am. But not every deal is going to be the right one for you. I may never see $250 fares to Hawaii again. Sure hope I do. But if I don't, that's okay. You know, there is a strong fear of missing out on that dream trip in the travel world. But I can assure you that for every opportunity that I've missed, there have been at least two that have come down the road that have been unbelievable and even better than I could have imagined. So keep thinking about what those bucket list items are for you. Keep looking at all the deals that you see out there that seem great, and make sure you're taking advantage of them when you can. But don't be upset if you miss out on one. There's always going to be another one. We're always going to have another opportunity to travel the world. That's a full wrap on this week's episode. Again, I hope you liked it. Special thanks to our sponsors, GoGo InFlight Internet and BookYourAward.com, for helping produce the show. If you enjoyed the show, I hope you'll subscribe to the podcast and give us good feedback. A review on iTunes or Google Play or SoundCloud would be super awesome. Until then, we're getting ready to wrap up next week's episode. Got a couple more segments to piece together, but I think you're really going to like next week's episode as well. But until then, hope you enjoyed listening. We've got miles to go.